Surprise, you were not an employee after all. I'm David Brancaccio. First, a milestone today in the ongoing battle against opioid abuse, which has claimed 450,000 lives. We're about to get a civil settlement involving many states across the country in which a corporate consulting firm will pay about $570 million. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with details.
David, that settlement involves a big player in the corporate world. As you mentioned, that's McKinsey & Company, the global consulting firm. It did work for Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, and that painkiller is front and center in the opioid abuse epidemic.
What got McKinsey into such trouble?
What we know is McKinsey helped Purdue strategize on ways to prop up sales of OxyContin at a time when sales were declining. For example, they talked about targeting sales calls to physicians who already prescribed a lot of OxyContin to patients. So it's for this work that McKinsey now has agreed to settle with states. And the company has said it did not adequately acknowledge the addiction crisis in the past and has stopped all work on opioid-specific business as of 2019.
And we don't have full details yet on how the money's used?
What we know is that all but a handful of states have signed on. The money will be split among them, and it will be used to deal with the addiction crisis itself, which, of course, is still going on.
All right, Nova, thank you. Ford has quarterly results later today. Sales were solid in January, with electric vehicles up nearly 20%. Rival GM's has pledged to end carbon exhaling cars and trucks in less than 14 years. All this lines up with many Biden administration goals to hold back climate change, as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
New emission standards, more investment in charging stations for electric vehicles, incentives for Americans to buy electric. That is what car makers are expecting and even hoping for, says Michelle Krebs of Auto Trader, that the Biden administration
will promote electric vehicles with consumers because consumers haven't been running out and buying a lot of them.
Krebs says only about 2% of people buying cars in the U.S. tend to buy electric. But car makers are moving more and more in that direction, says Ben Kalo, an industry analyst at Baird.
The trajectory was already on its way before the administration. And so on the cost front and the technology front, we've already reached a tipping point.
So any federal policies that encourage more consumers to buy electric, Kalo says, will act like a tailwind and help push the auto industry more quickly into the future. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Fewer people signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week, 779,000, which I got to say is still pretty high.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to what it means to be employed at a time many are summoned to work via app. How to treat gig economy workers will be a key labor issue for this new administration. Marketplace's documentary podcast called The Uncertain Hour has just launched a new season that gets deep into the history and the future of employees. The host is my colleague Chrissy Clark, who joins us. Hi.
Hey, David.
Employment. Maybe in, I don't know, philosophical moments, we tell ourselves we shouldn't be defined by that. But for most of us, employment is at the center of our livelihoods.
Right. But the specific idea of being an employee, actually that word, that specific word is really important because being labeled an employee comes with all these rights and benefits and protections that helped shape our economy over the last century. Things like getting a minimum wage and overtime, getting help if you're hurt on the job, being able to form a union, having unemployment insurance. You need to be an employee to be guaranteed those things.
Now, for companies, employees are assets, but in some ways we cost the boss extra money compared to the temps, the casuals, the contractors, the, I don't know, outsourced bearer of skills.
Right. And that's why the questions of who's really technically an employee and who's technically an employer, these questions have become all-out battles in a lot of industries. Lately in the context of the gig economy and Uber and Lyft and Amazon. But it's a much older and much deeper story than just those apps and websites. In fact, from the moment our country started making laws to protect employees more than 100 years ago, there have been some companies that try to get around those laws by arguing their workers are not their employees. And this has happened to coal miners, migrant cucumber harvesters, strippers, janitors. The line between employee and non-employee has gotten so slippery that today some workers don't actually realize that they're not employees of the companies where they work.
Don't realize. Well, I mean, it's true, right? I might say I work for that company. You don't say I contract out to that company.
Yeah, and that's something that we internalize. I talked about this with David Weil, a professor at Brandeis University and a former official in the Obama Labor Department. He's seen cases where someone would get laid off and try to get unemployment benefits or get hurt on the job and try to file a workers' comp claim. And they'd go to a government office to do the paperwork, give them the name of their employer.
And they look up the employer and they are astounded to find out those aren't your employers. You don't have an employer. You are the employer.
Corporate consultants actually predict that soon there's going to be a major global company that has only C-suite executives and no full-time employees. And that's what we dig into in this season, is this fascinating history of how we got to this point.
Marketplace's Chrissy Clark, host of the Uncertain Hour podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, David.
For more about the American job and the history of what happened to it, you can subscribe free to the Uncertain Hour podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.